Stark Street in Portland, the Roxy is an old-school full-service diner open 24 hours Tuesday through Sunday. Lunch was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Bridges Cafe and Catering is a restaurant and catering company open daily. Dinner was provided by Ford Food and Drinks, located at 2505 Southeast 11th Avenue and Division, an industrial chic cafe that features simple homestyle fares and espresso drinks. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
Every year on May the 4th, citizens gather in celebration of Jedi, rebels, and the power of the Force. They wear costumes, have parties, and share greetings and pictures on their social networks. They say it's fun, but what aren't they telling you about May the 4th? They say that the rebels are heroes, looking to restore freedom to the galaxy. Fact, the Jedi and rebels are traitors to the Empire, and so are all those who celebrate May the 4th.
No, no, no. Tune in Thursday night, right before midnight, for a very special Star Wars celebration. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th is a dangerous and immoral holiday. This year, say yes to the Empire. Say no to Jedi. Say no to rebels. And say no to May the 4th. Paid for by the Emperor's Committee to Destroy May the 4th.
This is KBOO Portland.
Good morning, everybody. This is Paul Rowland with Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO Community Radio. That was Martin Beese's version of Money. Anyway, we're going to be talking about a fabulous, amazing, important book called The Money Cult, Capitalism, Christianity, and the Unmaking of the American Dream with its author, Chris Lehman, who is part of the BAF, or has been since the 1990s. That's a really interesting a website, a web magazine, as it were. If you haven't checked it out, do so. Actually, my last week's guest, Barbara Ehrenreich, is also a contributor to the BAF. So 2 weeks in a row. And Chris Lehman, as I said, been there with the 90s. And has also written for The Nation, In These Times, New York Magazine, The Washington Post, various other places. And he found himself laid off after 2008. And as he says in his description of himself in the BAF, laid off and writing a bitter online column about the casual idolatry of the market of market values in America, which eventually became a book, Rich People, Things, Real Life Secrets of the Predator Class, from 2011. He's also written Revolt of the Mass Cult, and his most recent book came out a couple years ago. I don't believe he has talked about it on KBOO, so this is a first time possibly to our airwaves. Anyway, he's in a hotel room in Chicago. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome.
I just wanted to let you know that The Baffler also exists as an old-school print magazine for, anyone who likes getting heavy objects in the mail.
And, of course, they can go to your website and check all that information out, how to do that. I actually I'm shocked at myself that I myself don't visit the magazine racks like I once upon time did. Isn't that funny? I used to go down to Powell's Books and check out the magazines and occasionally buy one.
Yeah, it does happen still. In fact, I travel to Portland fairly frequently, and every time I go, I make sure that they are duly stocked at Powell's with the latest Baffler. They do a great job.
Probably other places too. We don't want to, you know, give business to Powell's here. Anyway, so this book is, I actually haven't been able to read the entire thing. It is getting on 400 pages, and it's a really dense narrative that is not easily reduced to a brief conversation, but we'll do our best. So, you know, lay out a little bit of your argument here, just to give us a taste of what you're trying to do in this book here.
Sure thing. I think anyone who writes a book like this is trying to find an answer to a question that's been buzzing around in their head that they haven't really found thus far. And that's the only reason, at least, I put myself through the agony of putting a book together. And for me, the question was, you know, there is something very specific about the way wealth is revered in American culture that goes beyond the kind of standard heroic, you know, self-made man, you know, American dream material that we all kind of imbibe, you know, through various channels of cultural production here. There is, in fact, a religious quality to it. There is a sense in which we regard, you know, the getting of wealth and the accumulation of riches as a sign of spiritual virtue. And it goes back, you know, very deep in our history. And it's a paradoxical thing at the outset because, of course, America was settled by Puritan dissenters who were seeking independence from an Anglican church that they regarded in part as corrupted by wealth and office. But they were also, you know, the colonists who originally settled the country were also very accomplished and, you know, well-to-do figures in their own right. They, the New England colony was initially a crown charter that was expected to show 20% return per year on the crown's investment. So there was a very palpable, sort of urgent need for the colonists to accumulate wealth very rapidly. And so I think what happens is, combined with the, you know, all the sort of biblical imagery entailed upon settling what to Europeans was a new world, there was this mounting sense within the country's founders that, you know, God must really like us. Look at how he's blessed us with this, you know, vast continent, how the virtues we evince by virtue of settling this continent and, you know, taming it and making it redound to European colonial needs shows that we are good and true believers. And so God will smile down on us and give us bounty. And that, of course, is an old Hebrew Bible kind of principle going back to the, you know, story of the settling of Israel, that, you know, God has ordained a chosen land and is smiling down on his chosen people in the land with good fortune. But this sort of, you know, it's all transposed weirdly into a Protestant Christian context, and, you know, over time becomes, you know, what I argue is the kind of default religious outlook of America. So that's the argument in somewhat brief compass.
And of course, I titled this show "The United States of Trump," or the money cult. And of course, I was intentionally trying to draw a line. But you know, speaking in of money, you know, it's a certain irony, of course, in that we're all dependent upon a money economy, and there's really seemingly no escaping from it, and we can't just sort of magically wish it away,
right.
Which of course is a segue to the fact that we are in our membership drive, and I was going to say there's certain irony in all this, which you know we have to sort of accept these ironies and contradictions to some extent, but at the same time try to move beyond them. But in the meantime, we're all surviving the best way we can, and KBOO's way of surviving, of course, is by having listeners support us directly through their contributions. And I know that you, I talked to Barbara Ehrenreich about this last week, and of course she said, you know, she said, what other radio is there than community radio and public radio? And I'm sure you've had your experiences over your lifetime in both listening and sharing your words. So maybe you could talk a little bit about what it means to you.
Oh, I think it, you know, especially at a time like this when, you know, lamentably sort of mainstream media sources have failed in, you know, pretty spectacular fashion to counter, you know, what is a concerted assault from the right on their very legitimacy. I think it's all the more important to have sort of independent, community-supported media to fill that enormous gap in our civic culture. And I, of course, have done many interviews and have, you know, relied on public radio as just a bastion of sanity. So yeah, it is an absolutely indispensable resource, I think, especially in what I regard as a very dark time in the Republic's history.
Which we'll be continuing the conversation about. And but we do want to appeal to you, our dear listeners, right now to contribute to this ongoing project, which is sort of a hybrid vehicle in a way, sort of a mixed economy, you know, they used to talk about. You know,
I remember that.
Yeah, we are kind of a mixed economy. We got a foot in both worlds. We're definitely, you know, have a culture of solidarity and collectivity here at KBOO, but we, you know, we still do exist in the money economy as the rest of us do, as we all do. And so right now, we'd like you to call 877-500-5266. That's our membership number, 877-500-5266.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is the number to call, 877-500-5266. I'm Ani, and this is a great conversation that Paul is having. You know that you can tune in to talk radio here on KBOO Community Radio and always hear some deep conversation. We do not do soundbite news. We do not keep things on the surface. We go deep into the issues that are really affecting us as a society, as people. This is what you get when you tune in to talk radio in the morning here on KBOO, your community connection. And Paul is talking about the need to actually operate in the cash economy, whether that's where we are philosophically or not. You know, it is factual. It costs $60,000, actually, to pay for the transmitter and translators through which our radio signal gets to you. So right now is the time for you to step forward and say, I am going to actually help pay for that, because we know that we cannot wait for giant corporate sponsors to do it. That's not the world we operate in. That's not how we maintain our independence. In fact, we maintain our independence because we come to you, the grassroots support of our community. We come to you because we understand that it is together the community and the equipment here in a building that comes together to make great community radio through volunteers straight from the communities to step forward and have these conversations and to provide the content to the volunteers that come from the communities to operate the control boards and the sound equipment. And then we also have, well, you, the members of the community, stepping forward right now to build the station, to maintain the equipment, to keep the signal flowing to the tune of $60,000 every year. And that's just the rental. That's not actually covering the utilities and the electricity that it takes to power those transmitters and antennas. So please do step forward and be one of the grassroots supporters right now at 877-500-5266. It's an empowering act first thing in the morning when you are able to say yes to your community and say, yes, I want to go ahead and give an hour's wage every month. If we are here together, let's even out the impact on ourselves and our communities by, in fact, everyone stepping forward and giving what they can. And if you are employed in an hourly wage kind of way, please come on in and say, yeah, I make $15 an hour. I'm going to contribute $15 a month to KBOO Community Radio. I make $20 an hour. I'm going to contribute $20 a month to KBOO Community Radio. Think about what you make in an hour and think about working 1 hour to support your entire community every month. It's a great way to do it. So please do give us a call right now at 877-500-5266. Hey, Paul.
Thank you so much, Ani. And we hope people will continue to keep in mind, and not just keep in mind, but actually actively move to the telephone or to the computer and go to kbo.fm and contribute. We're winding down our spring membership drive, and we'd like to reach our goal. So thank you for that. And we'll come back to Ani in a few minutes. So, Chris, thank you for staying with us. The you're talking about the Puritans, and you know, you lay out, again, this is a very complex argument, you lay out the sort of more communal traditional nature of the Puritans and the way that and the way that faith worked and the way that you know spiritual experience even worked, and you say that there's this shift, and you talk there's some you know, as the nation emerged into the pressures of the, you know, returning the investment on the colonial corporate enterprise, and sort of the rise of commercial culture, which the United States really became a exemplar of in the world, and really drove the world to, you know, this globalist beast that we see now. So, you counterpose something you call the Gnostic self with the Puritan worldview. You want to talk about, try to unpack that some?
Yeah, you know, the sort of popular religious, I mean, there are, as is the case in any sort of you know, emerging mass society, there is a sort of gap between the kind of official conduct of religiosity and popular religion. And, you know, from it's very striking early, from a very early point in the colonial settlement of America, there is this kind of what I call a Gnostic strain of popular belief, in which, you know, money is kind of a literal object of worship. There's, you know, an alchemical tradition of precious metals that are supposed to transmute, you know, believers into a you know, quasi spiritual state, and you know, heal sickness and sort of do folk religion type of healing, and you know, gradually that becomes a very dominant kind of form of popular religion, to the point where the founding of the Mormon Church, Joseph Smith was what was called a money digger in upstate New York, who, you know, had this sort of peepstone that he claimed would allow him to find, you know, buried treasure from Native American and other sources, and you know, he would collect money from local farmers, you know, on these sort of treasure hunt escapades. And you know, that sort of launched his career as a prophet in America. And he, you know, famously claimed to have found this alternate New World scripture that would become the Book of Mormon. It's not coincidental, in my view, that he claimed that the Book of Mormon was inscribed on tablets made of gold. This is a very palpable kind of concrete idea of using the objects of wealth to transmute yourself into a higher spiritual state. And it's a Gnostic belief. Gnosticism is a strain of dissenting Christian faith going back to the first century AD, and it's a very sort of dark theology, holding that the individual believer is sort of trapped in a hostile and dark world, and creation is kind of a mistake, and a Gnostic adept has to sort of rescue himself from this dire straits by virtue of joining an elect spiritual group that has a very arcane and allegorized understanding of the way the cosmos is really ordered. And Mormonism is very strikingly a Gnostic faith in this sense as well. You know, there's a whole kind of tradition in Mormonism holding that, you know, you are transported, you know, you have in the Mormon cosmology, you have your own planet, you are continue to work and reproduce in the afterlife. It's a very strikingly at once very worldly in the sort of capitalist sense mode of religious observance, and incredibly otherworldly in the sense of the individual sort of becomes a kind of cosmic being, a divine being even. So this is, you know, this is a very striking strain of popular religious belief in America, and it becomes much more, as the country does evolve into a commercial republic, it becomes, you know, in my view, a dominant strain. And you see the sort of similar strains of belief develop in American Protestant. You know, Mormonism was initially regarded as an outsider cult, not a Orthodox Protestant faith at all, but the kind of theological structure of Mormonism becomes very pronounced in the Pentecostal movement in the early 20th century, and the prosperity gospel, which emerges out of Pentecostalism in the mid-20th century. And, you know, there is a sense in which this is the intuitive, popular religious understanding of wealth and prosperity in America unto this day. And you mentioned Donald Trump, and what's very mysterious to a lot of outside observers is the depth of the evangelical community's attachment to Trump. He actually outpolled George W. Bush, who was himself a born-again believer, in terms of his share of the evangelical vote in 2016. And I think an obvious explanation for that phenomenon, because as we all know, our president is a confessed sexual assaulter outside of marriage. He's not the sort of person, in terms of the kind of superficial Protestant morality, you would expect evangelicals to embrace. But from the standpoint of the money cult, it makes all kinds of sense.
So let me just hold that thought right there. I want to get deeper into that. That's a kind of a centerpiece of the conversation I wanted to have. And I'm talking with Chris Lehman, author of The Money Cult, Capitalism, Christianity, and the Unmaking of the American Dream, here on Wednesday Talk Radio in the middle of our spring membership drive. And I believe we have a number of copies of this book available for a contribution. Is that right, Ani?
You know, we're checking on that information right now. But what I can tell you is that we have volunteers here ready to talk to you. Please do start that process. Give us a call at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. We are looking to raise $500 this morning, and more would be good because we are a little behind and we have just 2 days left of our spring membership drive. So I know that listeners to Talk Radio here at KBOO will be, you know, really appreciating the conversation that you are bringing out this morning, Paul. That is, you know, the whole the alliance, the partnership, the intertwining of capitalism and the evangelical sort of mindset as now we see it manifested. This is a conversation that's going deep. And this is answering a lot of those questions, right? Like, why? How? How are the evangelicals getting behind Trump with all of his admitted stuff, as you were just talking about? This is a great conversation. And I'm going to say it's a conversation you're not going to hear outside of community radio. It's a conversation that actually is heard only because we have independent media, and we have independent media because you have supported it by calling 877-500-5266. There are five copies of this book available, and right now you can avail yourself of one of them so that you can keep this information going in your own life and in your community. You know, as you broaden the discourse, as we inform ourselves and have deep conversations with each other and with folks that, well, may not have been exposed to these ideas yet. So that's super important. Get a copy of this book. It can be yours as our thank you gift to you when you contribute $60 or more to KBOO this morning. So please do give us a call right now at 877-500-5266. I want to thank Kelly. Kelly is a new member of KBOO this morning. Kelly in Southeast Portland, thank you so much for becoming one of the grassroots supporters to independent community radio KBOO. What about you? Have you called yet? If you haven't, please call right now. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. And everyone calling that number today will be entered to win in our prize drawing. Today's drawing is for a pair of passes to the Northwest String Summit that's happening in July 19th through the 22nd at Horning's Hideout. You can call 877-500-5266 right now to be entered for your chance to win. And of course, you can get all information about that on kboo.fm. In fact, if you're at kboo.fm, just click the donate button there. You can join us silently and quickly online, or again, pick up your phone and tap out 877-500-5266. You're hearing Paul's interview with Chris Lehman this morning. He is the author of The Money Cult, Capitalism, Christianity, and the Unmaking of the American Dream. It's a fascinating discussion. Please do call right now and get one of the five copies of this book and help us raise the $500 that we are looking to raise by 9 o'clock this morning. We can only do it with your help, and your help, well, it would be great to have that right now. 877-500-5266. It is so important that we all step forward to support independent media, because that is what keeps us independent. It's what keeps us connected to the grassroots. Your contribution of $60 goes so far here at KBOO. Think about, again, what I was telling you earlier with the transmitter and translator cost. Just to rent the tower is $60,000 in a year. To provide phones and internet service to the station for a year is $20,000. It is your support that makes it happen. Please call with your support right now to 877-500-5266. When you think about it, you know that $60, you can break it into $5 a month. That's a very manageable sum to add into your monthly budget of entertainment and information expenses, because KBOO has it all. We inform, we have analysis, we have these deep conversations on talk radio, we have news, we have information, we also have music that inspires and keeps us together. So this is a great time to call and support the entire effort with your hard-earned money. It is time to add your resources to the collective whole. Please call right now at 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266.
And thank you so much, Ani. That's me, Paul Rowland, back with Chris Lehman. So yeah, I mean, the Christian churches, Christianity has gone through these strange transmutations over the 2,000 plus years. You know, it became the imperial state religion. Anyway, it's a long story. You're telling how it kind of got supercharged into this, what you call the prosperity gospel or money cult. And it is strange, though, if you look at the figure of Jesus, even just, you know, what he said and did, that for him to be sort of, you know, looked upon as a, you know, the, you know, businessmen praying to Jesus for their wealth and all that. It is a, it does seem strange, and maybe it sort of makes it difficult to penetrate for people. Just, oh, that's weird. People don't really
right.
get
it. Now, it is true that, you know, not only did, you know, Jesus famously preach that it's, you know, easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, but the early Christian church actually held property in common. It was a sort of primitive socialist enterprise. And so, yeah, that's one of the core, you know, when you read American religious history, there is this utter infatuation with the idea of the primitive church in America, because, as I was saying earlier, they were, you know, Puritans were a breakaway movement repudiating the old corrupt practices of the Anglican Church, and their model was, you know, they returned again and again to the idea of the original Pauline primitive church, and yet there's this problem, right? It's right there at the core of the Puritan settlement that, you know, they're not about to share property in common. They're not about to preach that a rich man, you know, can't enter the kingdom of heaven. So what do you do? And what happens over time, I argue, is that in lieu of, you know, sort of the prophetic repudiation of wealth, what happens in America is the market itself becomes sanctified. The market becomes an object of worship and the channel through which God is perceived to be dispensing his favor. And, you know, it seems like a very long, twisted path from that idea to Donald Trump, but it is actually quite legible in our history. And if you attend to these movements in American religious history, the Trump Evangelical Alliance looks a lot less strange.
And you, as we said, you write for the Boffler. I believe you're editor-in-chief, right?
I am, yes.
And and I've read some of your pieces. You also write for some other places. You have an article called The Self-Help Guru Who Shaped Trump's Worldview, which came out in These Times. Yeah, let's talk about that, you know, this Norman Vincent Peale figure.
Yeah, no, Norman Vincent Peale, your readers probably have some familiarity with his work. He was an enormously influential sort of mid-20th century self-help preacher. In some ways, The Power of Positive Thinking, Peale's, you know, mega bestseller, is one of the foundation texts of the American self-help phenomenon. Peale's a very interesting and influential figure in that he represented a kind of theological liberalism, but very intensely conservative economic and political philosophy. And I think he becomes a very influential thinker in that he's able to bring Christianity directly to bear on the kind of faith of the self-made man in a way that is much more overt and much more, appealing to people who might otherwise have been turned off by, you know, what they would have perceived as more crass expressions of spiritual materialism. Peale was very charismatic and a tireless writer and preacher, and he created this sort of mantra style interpretation of Christian scripture, where believers had to just intone, sort of as a daily practice, the snatches of Christian scripture that Peel, selected as kind of self-help mantras. If you just, as he said, picturize, prayerize, and actualize, you will be a successful businessman, and you will also achieve a kind of spiritual peace that will confirm that you were chosen by God to be rich. So it's not entirely shocking to know that Donald Trump's father was an ardent parishioner in Peel's Manhattan Marble Collegiate congregation in New York, and that in fact Norman Vincent Peel presided over Donald Trump's first wedding, and that Trump has repeatedly called out to Peel as sort of the most influential spiritual figure in his own coming of age and business life. And I think, the Peel method of kind of intoning success mantras until they become real to you is actually, I think one of the many befuddling things about Trump for the secular culture is the extent to which he says things that are not true and sort of breezes by any objections and anyone pointing out that he is lying in public. And I think for a true devotee of the gospel of positive thinking, Trump does not think he's lying. Trump thinks he's, and it's very fascinating if you read, a while ago he sued a New York Times reporter who had written a book in which the reporter contended that Trump was not in fact a billionaire. And so as a deposition for this suit, Trump, was sort of, they put the question directly to him, how much money do you have? And it's very revealing because Trump just basically says, I'm as rich as I feel like. There are some days when I'm not quite, all the way, in full billionaire fettle. So those are down days, but, basically I'm, I feel like I'm a billionaire, therefore I should be represented in public as a billionaire. And that, is the gist of the Norman Vincent Peale gospel. What you believe you are, you will become. And
that's the New Age mantra. You create your own reality. Yeah.
No, it's absolutely true. And now that reality is the reality of power in America. It's an amazing and frankly terrifying thing.
And of course, you probably saw Michelle Wolf's correspondence dinner talk where she says, well, now I'm going to get some that will really get to Donald Trump. I don't think you're very rich.
Yeah, now that is what gets to him. And, that is, in fact, it's also funny in subsequent interviews regarding this lawsuit against the Times reporter, Trump confessed he didn't actually read the book. He just heard that the book contained the claim that he wasn't a billionaire, and that was enough to, stick his team of lawyers on this reporter. So yeah, it is absolutely the Norman Vincent Peale faith and now the Donald Trump faith that you just, present your version of prosperous reality as the only reality on offer, and the rest of the world will kind of fall into line.
And the time is rapidly flying, as it always does on Wednesday talk radio, talk show in general here on KBOO. And of course, we are in our membership drive, and so we do have to take time out to remind people what keeps these conversations going. But before we go to our next break, you take to task what you call religious liberals, going all the way back to like the Scopes trial, the early culture war that really has never stopped. And you call to task, the mainline Protestant denominations for not, opposing this prosperity gospel and offering the alternative that really always exists is, you know, we're talking about, you know, what Christ actually said and what the early church represented.
Sort of prophetic tradition.
And, you know, there's that, and there's the, you know, the failure of the secular left. Do you want to just give a taste of your take on that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think this, you know, not to make it all about Trump, but, you know, you're seeing this failure in sweeping grandeur right now. I think, you know, the secular left just tends to regard Trump as this cartoonish vulgarian who, you know, somehow has managed to seduce the American right with, you know, fake promises of, you know, American greatness returns. And, you know, the idea of making America great again is actually, you know, a Protestant religious theme of Reconstruction. There's a whole Reconstructionist movement on the evangelical right. And, you know, it was also the phrase originated with Ronald Reagan, who was the first, you know, popular conservative politician to preside over the marriage of evangelical and business interests in the Republican Party. So again, what is being portrayed, you know, for people who, let's just say, you know, tend to dismiss religious phenomena, something that seems freakish and out of the blue is actually part of a, you know, generation old movement on the American right. And, you know, and Trump adds to it something that, even though, you know, Reagan was a celebrity and certainly well off, he wasn't the kind of avatar of capitalist self, you know, promotion that Donald Trump is. And so Trump always can, you know, point to his own career and, you know, success as the proof text for, you know, what makes his version of reality superior. And you shouldn't be, you know, in my view, you shouldn't dismiss people who buy into that gospel as rubes or, you know, kind of dupes of a con man. I mean, Donald Trump is a con man, we can grant that, but I think, you know, he's keen into what are very deep and unsettling currents of popular faith in America.
The water we swim in. Hey, we got to take a break here in a second, but we have a caller. If you can make your comment or question really quick. Go ahead, James.
Oh, thank you. So this is a really great topic. I really like how together, you know, this is like the very fabric of what our nation was built upon. So it's really important that people understand that correlation. But what do you have for what? I guess my question is like, how do we who understand this? What are your suggestions for being able to speak to people about this intertwining fabric of white evangelicalism and business and how it ties into the fabric of America, to be able to explain to people how this is, even though it seems like it's like sort of like American success, quote unquote, that it's really just another fraud.
Yeah, it is an aberration. And I think, I think people on the left generally are afraid to use the language of religion and belief, I think. But as I was saying earlier, you know, if you go to the actual history of Christianity and Jesus's teaching, there, it is incontrovertible that it is not a gospel of wealth. It is not a gospel of prosperity. That, you know, people are actively discouraged from abandoning their role in communal religious life for the sake of. So, you know, I think that's the most direct, you know, and it probably won't surprise you to hear that I have had arguments about this very subject, sometimes in my own family. And,
it's really hard for people to understand that there's also two different gospels in the New Testament. You have the gospels as they pertain to Jesus, and after Acts, you have Paul's gospel, which
now there's a Pauline version, which is aimed at, you know, building up the church as a permanent institution.
Okay, we gotta hold off. That you've opened up an even larger conversation, which is a good one to have. Unfortunately, we can't go too far in that direction right now. Thank you so much, James. I wish we had more time. That's really great stuff you brought up. But we all have a parallel conversation that we are having, which has to do with the station itself and how it continues to function, the hidden aspect, not so hidden, because we have a lot of members and we have a lot of people who've been calling up, and we have a lot of people who are going to call up to 877-500-5266.
Absolutely, Paul. In fact, I have to say, not hidden at all. We're really transparent. We are member-supported community radio. We want your active participation here at KBOO because together we are stronger. And in fact, your contribution does make you a member. $20 or more in a given year is actually the cost of membership written there in our bylaws. So please do jump in, become a member of Community Radio, because our members make such a difference. You help to govern the station. You fund the station. We are your community radio station. We do this thing together. 877-500-5266 is the number to call this morning to make sure that you are a member of KBOO Community Radio. We have a $500 goal to raise this morning, and right now is a great time to chip away at that goal with your support. 877-500-5266. I am a firm believer in people. If you have a regular employment, if you can give an hour's wage every month, think about that. It's 1 hour. So just 1 hour a month to work for your entire community, because your membership serves not only yourself, but it serves thousands of others who are accessing this radio station to learn, to build bridges across cultures, to challenge ourselves with information that we may not have been exposed to before, because our volunteers from the communities dig deep and bring forth perspectives that are left off of the mainstream media. This is a great conversation and well worth your support. Please do give an hour's wage every month, and you can call 877-500-5266 to do that. That amount, whatever it is, adds up to a significant number, amount of money over the course of a year. And you know that you're doing it just 1 month at a time in something that is manageable for your budget, and that supports so many community members just with your one call at 877-500-5266. You can get a copy of the book that Paul is talking to Chris Lehman about, The Money Cult, Capitalism, Christianity, and the Unmaking of the American Dream.
Yeah, you know, Ani, I really want people to get copies of this book.
Yeah.
I really want you to call now and get one of those copies, because, you know, you might not think of it later. You know, this is a good time to do two things at once. Many things at once is support community radio, support Wednesday Talk Radio, support my efforts and the efforts of all those people who make this happen, and get yourself a copy of this book. Read this book. I want you all to read this book.
Absolutely. It's a great conversation. I want to read this book. It's a subject that I am fascinated with and that we have discussed on the talk radio show that I produce on Friday mornings. It is really essential to seeing how we are shaping society, how society is shaped around us, and understanding some of the underpinnings and how people are able to sort of, well, be sucked into, I gotta say, this merger of capitalism and Christianity in a way that, as you're saying, Paul, doesn't seem particularly in line with some of the early Christian thought. So go ahead, give us a call, avail yourself of this information, broaden the discourse, be a part of distributing this information, talking to others, and really changing society for the better, because that's what happens when you stay informed. You can inform others. And right now we're asking you to keep the access to this community radio station strong with your support at 877-500-5266. We are 50 years old this year. We are the oldest independent community supported radio station in the country. That's phenomenal. We've done that with your support, and we'd love to continue doing it with your support for another 50 years and on into the future. However media changes, we want the people's media to be there. We want to continue providing you relevant content that actually hits home, that makes a difference in your life. We can be informed together, and we can, again, widen the public discourse and move to change the world to a better place. We co-create this together. 877 500 5266. We have three copies of this book left, so right now is a great time to get one of those copies. I hear the phones ringing behind me. We've got one line left open. Let's fill that up at 877-500-5266 and help us raise the goal for $500 this morning, and then help us make up a little bit of how we've fallen behind here during the spring membership drive. We're ending it tomorrow night, so we just have 2 days left to hear from you. Don't put it off. Procrastination never really works, right? I know this from experience. Just do it right now. Pick up your phone and tap 877-500-5266.
And thank you once again, Ani. And please do take that to heart and give us a call. Chris Lehman, thank you for sticking with us. So, you know, it's a Saturday. Did you know the Saturday is the 150th anniversary of Karl Marx's birth?
Actually, I did know that, but yeah.
So let's all sing happy birthday. No, so you know, this idea of religion being the opium of the masses. And, you know, there's obviously way more, you know, there's way more to everything than, you know, unfortunately, we don't have, most of us don't have the time to do the kind of in-depth reading and research and thinking and collective discussion that we need to really understand these deep forces of history. But there's some people who actually help do that work for us. And I think one of them was Karl Marx. I think one of them is you in your book, The Money Cult. But talk about that. You know, did Marx get it all right? Did he miss something? You know, talk a little bit about how your work compares to how his approach.
Oh, well.
not to his work, but your approach and his approach.
Yeah, I'm actually not a doctrinaire Marxist. I think there is a lot that's tremendously valuable in Marx's work, and I think, you know, the discussion of the fetishism of the commodity and under capitalism is something I often return to in my own thinking. But, you know, Marxism, this is a whole other conversation, but it is a theory of history predicated on the idea of progress. And I'm abashed to report I don't really believe in progress. So, so I think, you know, as a prescription, as a way of explicating the way that European capitalism, you know, sort of took off and became, you know, this amazing motive force of history, Marx's work is indispensable. But as a prescription, as a kind of guide to the way history inevitably works out, I think it's been proven wrong time and time again. So, you know, and I think, you know, what often gets lost in the American tradition, and this is something that Trump has not helped, but we have a very robust, though undercovered, history of populist political activism. This is not populist in the bigoted Trump sense, but in the sense of the 19th century Farmers Alliance, which, you know, captured the Democratic presidential nomination in 1896 and put very, you know, relevant issues of how wealth is earned and how it's distributed and how, you know, public utilities should actually belong to the public right on the agenda. And I think, you know, one of the gruesome ironies of our own time is that honorable political tradition has been twisted in the hands of the Trump movement into something very ugly and xenophobic. So anyway, that's a long-winded answer to your question. I value the work of Marx.
Well, yeah, that whole question of progress and, you know, the sort of inevitability that, you know, as people argue, did he really mean that, et cetera, et cetera. But the whole it does seem that idea of progress is exactly what kind of plays in to this the money cult, the idea of
and it is, you know, you quoted the Marx line about religion being the opiate of the masses. I think progress is the opiate of the liberal intellectuals. there's a sense in which, you know, we see it, you know, unto the present day, the idea that, you know, a kind of data-driven, globalized capitalism is going to save everyone and make the world magically more transparent and more democratic and more equitable. And we've seen exactly the opposite happen. So,
well, you know, I think that's just a brilliant note to end on, because we are going to have to end. I wanted to ask you about the Rajneeshis, since this wild
Well, you should have Wynn McCormick on the show, the publisher of the New Republic. He was present at the creation.
Oh wow! Okay, yeah. I've been looking for someone to talk to. So I'll email with you about that.
Do.
And yes, yeah, so that there's so many other things we wanted to get to, but we can't. And thank you so much, Chris Lehman. Check out The Boffler, especially check out The Money Cult and his other works. Thank you so much for joining us here on KBOO Community Radio.
Thank you, Paul. It was a total pleasure.
All right. And we're still here, and we're not going anywhere. KBOO Radio isn't going anywhere. We've been here 50 years, and we want to keep going for, I don't know, 50 years. I don't know if we'll all be around for 50 years the way global warming is going. But hey, we're doing what we can to stem that tide and to stem the tide of the money cult in its worst sense, in terms of a capitalist encirclement. 877-500-5266. We got a little over 5 minutes left to raise some more money for this hour.
Yeah, that's right. And right now is how it's done. It's done with your participation by calling 877-500-5266. I think we have one more copy of the book left. Call in right now if you would like to get that. It is an extremely popular book, because in fact the information is dynamite, right? It is so important to really look at how the power structures reinforce each other, and how in fact that is serving the elite. It's certainly not serving regular folks. You've heard a great conversation this morning between Chris Lehman and Paul Rowland. And it's that kind of deep conversation that we can expect on Wednesday morning talk radio, that we can expect on talk radio here at KBOO in general, because we are here to bring forth unpopular perspectives and neglected opinions, and to actually have those deep conversations, to widen the public discourse, to inform each other and to inspire each other to, well, you know, live an informed life and take right action to make the world a better place. That's just what Melody has done. Thank you so much, Melody, renewing your membership in Northeast Portland, and Karen, renewing your membership in Southeast Portland. Thank you so much, Karen and Melody, for making a difference here at KBOO this morning. Right now is a great time for you to make a difference here at KBOO. Make a difference in your community. Make the call that supports not only yourself, but thousands of other people accessing these airwaves or the internet streams, and accessing the tools to make the media and be a part of the media. We have community volunteers producing these programs and actually providing free training to them, all with your support. This is what you do when you call 877-500-5266. We do have one more copy of this book. Please do give us a call right now with your $60 contribution to KBOO, and you can do that all at once, or $5 a month. We would love to thank you by giving you a copy of The Money Cult. You've heard the conversation. You know this information is pretty complex and pretty deep. It's a historic look at how the powers of capitalism and evangelicalism have come together to create what we're seeing. And that is a great topic. It's important to talk about this stuff. It's important to share this information. And so you can avail yourself of KBOO Community Radio, get a membership, and have us thank you with a copy of The Money Cult this morning when you dial 877-500-5266.
Yeah, I'd like to make just one more personal appeal. I'd really like those of you, you know, I get out in the public a certain amount, and people say they like this show. They listen to Wednesday Talk Radio. If that's you, because you're listening to this, it probably is you, well, support what I do, support what KBOO does, support what the other local producers of public affairs and all the other programming here by calling 877 877- 800-500-5266.
Absolutely. Or online, you can go to kboo.fm. And I want to remind folks that everyone calling today will be entered into the prize drawing. Today's drawing is for a pair of passes to the Northwest String Summit. That's happening July 19th through 22nd at Horning's Hideout. You just have to call 877-500-5266 right now to be entered for your chance to win. And you can get all the information and details about the drawings at kboo.fm. Again, 877-500-5266 is the number to call to support independent talk radio, to support public affairs and current events information coming at you every weekday morning from 7 a.m. till noon. And then again, from 4 to 8 p.m. every weekday evening. It is a community radio produced by volunteers from the communities, going out to the communities, informing each other, in building bridges, being cultural ambassadors, providing music and poetry at other hours of the day. This is an amazing community resource. Please do join us right now. We are looking to raise about another $350 or so this morning, and you can do it with your call. You can help us reach the finish line in the next minute when you call 877-500-5266. Thank you so much for that call. Joining Melody, joining Karen, joining the rest of the KBOO membership, please add yourself to those numbers right now and give a ring. 877-500-5266. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and coming up at 9 o'clock, we will be getting into the politics of living. And today, the politics of living is looking at a holistic service provider, Rain for Salt, self-care advice for mothers, permutations radio, plus local singer-songwriter Joanne Hodges. At 10 o'clock, you'll hear Air Cascadia, followed by Flashpoints and The Bike Show at 11. All of this coming to you through your financial support. You're a KBOO member. This is radio made by you. Give us a call right now and continue your support to KBOO. That's 877-500-5266.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by The Roxy, located at 1121 Southwest Stark Street in Portland. The Roxy is an old-school full-service diner, open 24 hours, Tuesday through Sunday. Lunch was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Bridges Cafe and Catering is a restaurant and catering company, open daily. Dinner was provided by Ford Food and Drinks, located at 2505 Southeast 11th Avenue and Division, an industrial chic cafe